You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. Yeah, and like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is Wednesday. Inexplicably, we are already at Wednesday. I guess when you have a little time off, that's what happens. The week goes by fast. But anyway, Wednesday afternoons, 4 o'clock, we do a thing we call the Grand Council, where I bring on two of my brethren and talk radio. And we ping each other with questions and just see where we land. So let me go ahead and just call the roll. From 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, host of the Dale Jackson Show in Huntsville, also writing for Yellowhammer News. Dale Jackson, are you with us? You are indeed. Thank you, sir. Stand at ease. And then from FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, host of his own show, The Jeff Poor Show, and also the editor-in-chief for 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you here?
I am present.
You are indeed. All right, well, I pronounce a quorum, so hit it, Butters.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. Ba-ba-da. All right, Jeff Poor, you go first. What you got?
Senate District 9, the Alabama Education Association.
Stole my question.
Backs Wes Kitchens. Does it help him more or harm him more in that contest against Brock Colvin?
Well, first of all, I'm holding in my hands a piece of paper where I'd written down the exact same question. Does it help or hurt? You know what? I hate to say it this way, but first of all, it's going to depend on who you ask. If you're a big teachers union person, you're like, whoop, whoop, there's our man. If you're a conservative Republican voting in a special election, then it's absolutely going to hurt. But I mean, does it really hurt in the end? I don't know what's going to wind up happening here. I haven't seen polling. I don't know where the traction lies right now. Money is currently, I understand, with Wes Kitchens because he already had a war chest coming in. Dale?
If you could turn out your robots, and this is the way to do that, it's very good for Wes Kitchens. I mean, that's the game plan here, right? You activate the teachers' unions. The teachers union, you tell those teachers to get out there because this is your guy, and you will send a guy to the Senate who won't vote for school choice. And then that's basically the gist of what they're trying to kill right now. So that is what it tells you. So I think it's very good for Wes Kitchens.
Go ahead and round out your own question, Jeff. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I was thinking it was going to be like an albatross. Like, oh, the AA guy is going to get beat in a Republican primary, but maybe Dell's onto something here. It's not. I don't think Marshall County is necessarily like the ground zero for the pro school choice movement, so I don't think it. I probably is a wash.
Well, yeah, that may be so, but if the AEA can mobilize its membership, which is what they used to do, special elections usually don't have a lot of attention, and it's probably flying under the radar because it's post Christmas. I mean, January 9th, everybody's watching bowl games and still getting over the eating too much at Christmas. And so the idea that they're going to wind up being able to mobilize a voting block, it may actually wind up being effective. So let me just take the next question, and I'll make it a segue off of that one. Because what got me was when I saw that it came out, my first thought was, well, so that's fine, the AEA says it, but what does Wes Kitchens say about the AEA? He embraced it. He flat out embraced it. The write-up I saw, I think the one I saw was on Yellowhammer. He embraced the fact that he had been endorsed. He stands with teachers. You know, he's all about raises and yada, yada. And I thought, what a sycophant. So have we reached a new level where Republicans are just going to openly declare their allegiance to the teachers' union? Dale, you first.
I mean, yeah, if they want their money, they will. I mean, that I think is a pretty simple takeaway there. They've made it pretty clear that you can get their money if you swear allegiance. I mean, that's as simple as it can be. That's what they went for, and that's what they got. And he's going to be their reliable vote. I mean, that he's saying, I'll be a Republican vote for the teachers union. That's what he's saying.
Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, but you don't say teachers union. You just say a reliable vote for teachers. I mean, like, I don't know that necessarily that district, though, that is – I mean, I think it's a mix, right? There's some places where there ought to be, like, really, really good schools, like Gunnersville system ought to be really good, but it's kind of lousy. And then in Albertville, it's different.
Super low turnout election.
Well, hold on now. I mean, but I don't think it's, you know, how much are they going to mobilize other than send out some mailers, too? Because when we reached out to the AEA to ask them what they thought about it, they came back at us with, like, oh, we don't know what you're talking about. Like,
Like, they weren't going to give you money? What are you saying? They wouldn't talk about what?
We don't know what you're talking about. Like, they were trying to play it down. So they must know something that says, hey, yeah, let's come in and help our guy, but let's not be too vociferous here.
Well, you put a mailer in, like, every mailbox in the district, so how low-key is that?
Well, no, you didn't put a mailer in every mailbox in the district. They micro-targeted teachers, it looks like, from what I could tell.
Okay, so this was a targeted mailer as opposed to a broad mailer.
That's what we think. But still. We think it's just sent to teachers. Yeah, but it's not. I mean, but whatever you want to say about it, that they know that there's some people who are going to have a visceral reaction to
right,
the
that's why you micro-target. I mean, this is brilliant stuff. I mean, you send it directly to the people you're trying to activate and hope that nobody else sees it. I mean, it's absolutely brilliant. Yeah, it'll have an impact. It'll turn those people out in that race.
Well, we'll see, because, you know, right now I still think that the vast majority of the rank and file doesn't even vote the way that the teachers' union likes to vote.
Ones this will work on will.
Well, that's well, there's
I mean, Senator, you're not that far from this place. I mean, like, you know, at a certain time in our history, not recent history, you run a Republican primary with the AEA banner over you, you're going to get beat, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's why I'm just here. I am looking at kind of almost like with disdain and yet confusion at the idea that Wes Kitchens is like, I'm for this. I love this. These are my people. What a knucklehead. Anyway,
I don't understand why you guys think he's a knucklehead. It's brilliant. It's the flyer went out to the people. They wanted to go out.
It's a brilliant knucklehead way. Yeah, it's okay. I'm not going to be a bit surprised to find out he doesn't get some kind of at least a censure from the Republican Party.
Censure after he's elected to the seat. How will he ever deal with that? Well, will he cry or will he not give a crap?
Well, he already doesn't give a crap, but the question is going to be, right. Does the party sit idly by and allow themselves to be dismissed? You are dismissed.
Yes.
Please go on your way. I care not for the party whose moniker I carry next to my name.
We're going to put a letter in your file. That'll show you.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, you know what? It might. Who knows?
It has some pros and it has, but it certainly has some cons too. And we don't know, like, right? We don't know if the cons are, you know, what the math is here. So I still think it's best to wash.
Well, I'll side with you guys on this. If enough information goes out and maybe his opponent hits him, Brock Colvin says, hey, look, he's got the teachers union back, and maybe that pushes back a little bit. But the goal of this is to make people who were just like, huh, this is an election, huh? Well, the AEA supports this guy. I'm a member of the AEA. I guess I'll go out there and vote. And the history in Alabama says that those guys are loyal voters, and they vote generally the way that they
want.
But
I will say, if Brock Colvin doesn't hit him on this, he's wrong. And if I'm not mistaken, sure. I think I know who Brock Colvin's consultant is, and I'm pretty sure he's already got it planned.
Okay.
With about 3 minutes left, Dale Jackson, what is your question, pray tell?
Okay, so there's been a lot happening here, and maybe this is a smaller issue than most. You have John Wall saying that he hopes a Republican can win in District 2. I mean, we've all pretty much written that thing off completely in Congressional District 2. Is there anything showing that Republicans have a shot here again?
I've not seen a poll. Jeff, have you?
Not head-to-head, but I mean, the numbers, except for the Forestry Association did just generic, at least they didn't release what they found to the media, just kind of generic numbers, and there's obviously way more Democrats. I think on the ballot, on every ballot, like one out of seven was a Democrat win, whether it was Doug Jones, Roy Moore, whether it was just statewide elections, with Tuberville, Doug Jones, et cetera, the only one to win in the what is currently the or will be the constituted AL2 was Kay Ivey over Yolanda Flowers.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think it comes down to voter enthusiasm. I mean, so which always is the case. But you know what I'm saying? This coming year, are Democrats in that particular congressional district, are they going to be at all excited to go to the polls? If they're not, if voter enthusiasm is waning, if they've got a lackluster, you know, just a empty skull full of mush sitting up there as the president running for his, you know, next term to be, you know, 97 years old while he's in office, then you're not going to see a great turnout on the Dem side, and I think the Republicans have a chance at that point. There's going to be a lot of voter enthusiasm on the Republican side to try and bring a Republican back with the top of the ticket being probably Trump. And I'm going to bet that that's going to be what drives the train. Not the candidates per se, but the level of voter enthusiasm, Democrat versus Republican. Last thoughts on it. Dale, your own question.
I agree with everything you guys are saying. I think there's way more stuff that's going to happen before we get to where we are at the end on this. But wishful thinking, I think, by John Wall at this point.
Okay. He agreed with us and then disagreed with us. But okay. all right, we're taking a break. That's round one of the Grand Council. Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and just me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just going right back to round number two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. First question, round two, Jeff Poor, what you got?
State Representative Chip Brown down my way says in 2024, the legislature will vote on a casino bill that will include, that will have a free market approach to licensing. Do you believe him?
If I'm not mistaken, the state senator down your way said bunk to that, too. Didn't Chris Elliott kind of talk that down?
He did. He said the, quote, flying monkeys will be released and kill the bill in its tracks.
I don't see it. I'll be honest with you. I don't think that, first of all, the casino operators are going to let themselves be written out of a bill that gives fair game for people to come in from out of state and supplant their turf. And then at the same time, I just don't know that they have the momentum, especially in the Senate. And is the House going to waste that much political capital trying to pass a bill that won't get passed in the Senate? So at this particular moment, I give it about a, I don't know. I think where the odds are like 40% they can get something like that passed. Dale?
Yeah, it seems unlikely. That seems ambitious, although I think that's the right thing to do. It just doesn't sound like that's what we're going to do. So, no.
Dale, with brevity. Jeff, your own question. What do you got?
No, I think you guys are right, but I mean, maybe that's what they're telling them. This thing is going to start in the House, and it's going to have to get through the Senate. Remember, it's 3/5 vote, so there's a lot more votes you got to get to. I just don't see a path in the Senate. No one has convinced me or said to me that there's a way forward in the Senate on even a lottery bill. So in the interim, I don't even know they could get that far. I think there's a lot of wishful thinking in Montgomery right now.
Yeah, I think there is too. And I think it's one of those things they talk about every year. And the thing to watch for is if they try to jam a special session. If they do that, that means they think they've got the votes. All right, next question. I have to point out that while we were actually discoursing here on the air, that Dale Jackson was actually on Twitter at that very moment, not listening to Jeff and I. He tweeted out his further disdain for Mayor Tab Bowling of Decatur. And I guess I have to question, Dale Jackson, is it your intent to try and dethrone the mayor of Decatur? Is that what's happening?
Well, he's already dethroned himself because he's a coward. Halfway through all this mess in Decatur, he came to a meeting and was like, guys, I'm not going to run for re-election because I'm a pansy and I can't even stand up to you. How can I do anything else? You've already run my city. You guys become the mayor. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm a scared. And he basically said that. Now he has his out of office email on. until January 2nd. That what you see there on my Twitter page at twitter.com/thedalejackson is basically an email I sent to him this morning because he is such a screw-up and has completely wrecked his city. Every member of the city council there and the police chief, with the exception of Hunter Pepper, of all people, the biggest clown in the area, has been wrong on this, and I know exactly what's going to happen. The Alere report is going to show that these officers were justified in what they did. They're going to submit it to a grand jury anyway because they're cowards. The grand jury will either no bill it or try them in a case they will never get a conviction, and this will continue. They have citizens at City Hall at 3 a.m. guarding a public memorial that should have been taken down on day one because it's against the law to have this stuff on city property. Otherwise, you'll have nothing but memorials and political signs all over the place. So, congratulations, Mayor Bowling. You're a coward. Enjoy all the people protesting outside your house because you've showed it works.
All right, I'm gonna have to put an end to your filibuster here, Jeff. Jeff, what do you think? Is it basically Dale's intent to put on his resume that he took down the mayor of Decatur? Is that what's happening here?
He just needs another scalp. The bloodlust is insatiable for Dale Jackson.
Being right is a virtue.
Is safe.
Holy crap!
Is Decatur this kind of place though? Like I know it's not exactly like a conservative bash here, but I mean, it's not Berkeley. Does this really work there?
He's a coward. He showed him it worked on day one, so they've been doing it ever since. When they should have shut this nonsense down from the beginning and said, when the Alere report is over, we will address what happened. That's what we should have said.
I mean, does it work? Does it work politically? Like are the people in Decatur?
Oh no, he's done already.
but is it like right on? Black Lives Matter. This is a righteous indignation. Are they like, give it a rest, you weirdos?
So, don't beat around the bush, Dale. Tell us how you feel. But with 1 minute left, Dale Jackson, have you got a short question for us?
First off, FMB, that'd be the first thing I'd like to say. I'm trying to start that going. Number two, my question was related to this Stephen Perkins thing. How long before we have a full-blown riot in Decatur? Is it going to be when this finally comes out and nobody goes to jail?
I'll be honest with you. I don't know that I've been tracking this thing so well. And the calls for violence, I think, are somewhat overblown, to be honest. But you tell me, is it riot worthy? Now, Jeff, down in Mobile, do you think this is riot worthy?
No. They need to. If it gets to that realm, it gets close. Governor Ivey needs to march on Decatur like Gordon Persons did on Phoenix City in the 50s. This does not rise to the level of rioting.
Yeah.
They got to make an example out of this, or this will continue in other parts of the state.
Yeah, I agree. Just to add, I've advocated from the very beginning that they deincorporate the city and push it into the river. I mean, that's basically what they need to do.
Now, hang on a second.
A failed state.
Because the Cooks Natural History Museum is where I'm taking my grandkids sometime soon. So slow your roll there, buddy.
Why don't we actually? I just mean the city, and now it will be an unincorporated Morgan County. I mean, come on, let's be clear. The Decatur has fallen. It's time to wipe it from the map. Start over.
All right. Lively responses all around. Blessings on both
of
you.
From 65 to the sea.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you, despite yourself.
65 to the sea.
65 to the sea. All right. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up, final half hour. We will be right back.